Let's try that one more time. Let's see your pens. Pens. Lesson plan. Okay, you can put everything away. Everyone's so nice tonight. You don't need anything except your mouth and your voice. Are you guys, how many of you have never been to one of our quizzes? Raise your hand. Okay? You've never been to one of our quizzes? This is how the quiz works. It's very simple. I ask you a question, you tell me the answer. I assume you don't know the answer, so I'm going to tell you the answer. Then I'm going to ask you again, and then you'll tell me the answer. Example, Genesis, the book of beginnings. Genesis, the book of? It's very simple like that. This is, the more you say, the more you'll learn. This is not something that you listen to. You learn less when you listen than when you speak. And so this is a time when you are supposed to speak. If you don't know the answer, say it anyway. No one's going to really know for the most part. And I'm going to make mistakes. When I make mistakes, just laugh at me, and that's fine. I don't bruise easy. And just know that your brain is smarter than you. Okay? You are not your brain. Your brain is, I'm kind of playing words here, but your brain is smarter than you. In other words, you are not aware of all that your brain is doing. Your brain does about 10,000 trillion computations a second right now. I'm sure you do not know what those things are. And so your brain is way ahead of you. A friend of mine, my wife reconnected with an old... That deli didn't come out right. My wife reconnected with a friend of ours. This is really what I meant to say. My wife reconnected with an old friend of ours, not a friend of mine, and they have kids our kids' age. And she was telling my wife how their son, who is 16 years old, graded out at a senior in college. And he's going to college as a sophomore, but he graded out, tested out. He took a test, and he has a senior college aptitude, but he's only 16 years old. So my wife was telling me this, and my son's sitting in the other room, and I go, man, I wish my son was that smart. And my son, who's playing Madden, it says, without missing a beat, it's all genetic. We got thick skin in our family, okay? So I did what you did. I just cracked up because I thought it was pretty good. So I said, I can't wait to tell the church that one. And he just kept playing Madden instead of reading the biology book. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, the true thing about the genetics of your brain is that your brain is the most advanced computer in the world, and it's only 3.5 pounds. It is the most advanced, by far, computer in the world. So when I'm asking you questions, understand that your brain knows the answer more than you know it knows the answer. So you will open your mouth and something will come out and it'll probably be right. And if it's wrong, no big deal. You just fix it later. It's not a big deal. What you don't want to do is nothing. You don't want to sit there and just let everybody else answer, okay? Okay, everybody, hands in the air. Hands in the air. Take a deep breath in. Say, Jesus. That's what I want to hear. All the answers sound like that. Okay? All the answers sound like that. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray no one tries to be cool tonight. I pray everyone just opens their mouth and shouts and whatever. They got a soft voice, loud voice, funny voice, don't matter. I pray that we would use it, and I pray that we would learn and leave here with stuff in our brain we didn't have when we walked in. In Jesus' name, everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Very good. Joshua conquered the promised land. It took him 7 years, and then he died. Joshua did what to the promised land? And how long did it take him? And then he did what?
God.
See how easy that is? That's it. See, all you got to do is listen, get the key word, and you'll know it. And you'll remember that. 40 minutes from now, I'm going to ask you the same question. You're going to know it. Why? Because we're going to do it 10 times between now and then. Joshua did what to the promised land?
Conquered.
And how long did it take him?
Seven.
How long did it take Joshua to conquer the land?
Seven.
It took Joshua 7 years to do what?
Conquered.
Very good. And then he what? And the Israelites, even though they inherited it, now you got to watch my hand signs because these things mean something. This means inherited, okay? What does this mean?
Inherited.
Even though the Israelites did what?
Inherited.
They did not take possession. They did not take what?
Possession.
So they got the deed, they got the title to their land, but the enemy was living in the land. Just what you see today. They're in the land, but they got all these other people living in their land. Whether, no matter what your politics are, theology says that's Israel's land. And Jesus will establish that when he comes back. Okay, so even though Israel did what to the land?
Inherited.
They did not take what?
Possession.
They did not take what?
Possession.
They did not take what?
Possession.
One more time until I figure out what I'm going to say next. They did not take what?
Possession.
Very good. During the judges period, there was no king in the land, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There was no what in the land? And everyone did what? Very good. Everyone did what was? There was no what in the land? There was no what? There was no what? Therefore, everyone did what was? Can you imagine if everyone did what was right in their own eyes today? Now, we live in a society, the United States of America. The United States of America is one to teach you that you can do what's right in your own eyes, in the sense that this, that it is wrong for you to say Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, because everyone has a right to worship whatever they want. And so basically, if I want to worship the tree, I can worship the tree, whatever, whatever, whatever. Now, what happens when someone who says I worship the tree also says I can murder people? Well, they can't, because the same people that says you can believe whatever you want is saying, but you can't really believe whichever you want. Okay, so they're going to tell you as a Christian, everyone should believe what they want, but you as a Christian can't believe what you're believing, because what you believe is everyone else is wrong. But that's wrong. I'm contradicting myself, because that's what they're contradicting themselves. They're wrong. So if everyone did what was right in their own eyes, which is where our society is going, then you can murder, rape, steal, because there's no right and wrong. And so people who fight absolute right and wrong or have to run into a contradiction, because if they say there's no right and wrong, that means you can never say anybody's wrong. That means you can kill anybody you want and say, that's what I believe. But of course, that's wrong. So those people are hypocrites, okay? You're not the hypocrite for believing Christ is the only way. They're the hypocrite for saying you can believe anything you want. You can't do what's right in your own eyes. You have to do what's right in God's eyes. So basically, there was no what in the land during the time of Judges? There was no what in the land, right? And everyone did what was? Everyone did what was right? Now, I want you to think with me. Think. Joshua did what to the land? And it took him how long? And then he what? So the Judges period started when Joshua? The Judges period started when Joshua? Say with confidence. I'm not trying to trick you. The Judges period started when Joshua
died.
And there was no what in the land.
King.
So therefore, the Judges period ended when there was a
king.
Very good. The Judges period was between Joshua's death and the first king. When you had kings, then that was the time of the kings. The first king was Saul. Say Saul.
Saul.
First king was Saul. Say Saul.
Saul.
So the Judges period extended from Joshua's
death
to the first
king.
Who was?
Saul.
And between that time, there was no king in the land. Everyone did what was?
Right.
Say it again.
Right.
One more time.
Right.
Very good. During the Judges period, they went through a five-step dysfunctional cycle called roped, R-O-P-E-D. Everyone say roped.
Rope.
Say R-O-P-E-D.
R-O-P-E-D.
Say R.
R.
Say O.
O.
Say P.
E.
Say O.
O.
Say E.
E.
Say D.
E.
R means they rebelled. Say rebelled. Remember, the Bible says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They did what?
Evil in the sight of the Lord.
Say the whole thing.
Evil in the sight of the Lord.
They did evil in the sight of the Lord, not man. If man says you're wrong, that's not what's important. What's important is what God says is wrong. What's politically incorrect may be biblically correct. Okay? If you say homosexuality is a sin, which the Bible says it is a sin, and I believe it's a sin, and this church believes it's a sin, but the society says it's not a sin, you have conflict. And so society would say that we're out of step with culture. That's fine, but we're not out of step with the Bible, so you got to be in step with God. And if you're not in step with God, then you have to deal with God on that. And so if God says something is evil, it's evil. Period, end of story, no discussion. Whether you like it, believe it, feel it, it is irrelevant. It is about what God says. Now, do you have a right to disagree? You can disagree, but it doesn't mean that God won't discipline you or you won't pay consequences for your disagreement. I'll give you an example. There is behavior and beliefs that our culture says is acceptable, but God says it's not acceptable. And because it's not acceptable, there will always be consequences. So if you say, well, I disagree with the Bible, that's fine, but you will always pay a consequence. So you can believe what you want to believe, but understand whatever's evil in the sight of the Lord, God will discipline at some point in some form or fashion. Now, rebel, when the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord, the R means rebel. Say rebel.
Rebel.
The O means oppress. When they rebelled and did what they thought they wanted to do because they did what was right in the... God said, oh, is that right? He oppressed them. They got punished. Okay? So the R means they did what?
Rebelled.
Then O, they were what?
Oppressed.
Then P, they cried out or they...
Prayed.
P is what?
Prayed.
R means what?
Rebelled.
Then O?
Oppressed.
Then they what?
Prayed.
And then God picked a judge. A man or woman to deliver them. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then they escaped. Say escaped.
Escape.
Say escaped.
Escape.
Say rebelled.
Rebelled.
Oppressed.
Oppressed.
Say pay, pray.
Pray.
Escaped. Escaped. And then their pain was drowned out with peace. And I do this. You say drown.
Drown.
Very good. I know you're jealous because you can't do that. So R is they what? Then they were, then they what? Then they what? And then their pain was? Very good, that's rope. So what happened was when they were oppressed and prayed out, God picked a judge. Now a judge was several things. I'll say R and D. Different R. This judge, this R is, when I say R and D, the judge is ruled and delivered. R and D for a judge is what?
Ruled.
And
delivered.
Say it again. And then a judge was also a political advisor, a political what?
Advisor.
A military leader, a military what?
Leader.
And one judge was a spiritual leader as a prophet. The only woman judge was a spiritual leader. Her name was Deborah. So as a spiritual leader, she was a?
Prophet.
Say prophet.
Prophet.
Say prophet.
Prophet.
Say political advisor, political what?
Advisor.
Military.
Leader.
R&D, they did what?
Ooh.
And political what? Political what?
Yes.
Military.
Peter.
And as a spiritual leader, she was a?
Prophet.
Say it again.
Prophet.
And what was her name?
Deborah.
What was her name?
Deborah.
All the ladies say hey.
Hey.
Very good. R-O-P-E-D. R-O-P-E-D. The R means? Because they did what was right. Because there was no what in the land. There was no what in the land. Therefore they did. Very good. And they, R-O-P-E-D. The R stands for? Then the O,
oppressed.
Then they what?
Prayed.
Then they got called a judge and they,
prayed.
And then their pain was?
Drowned.
Their pain was?
Drowned.
Very good. Say Ehud.
Ehud.
Say Ehud.
Ehud.
Say Ehud.
Ehud.
Ehud, he judged Israel when they fought the, now most of these people that they're going to fight are called ites. So wherever they're from, it's an ite at the end. So Ehud fought the Moabites. This is Moab. Moabs for Moab. Is that your first time hearing that? Oh, okay. It's funny. It's funny. I see people on the street and they go, this is Mount Sinai for sinuses, okay? The Moabites. So Ehud fought the Moabites. Ehud fought the who?
Moabites.
The who? Okay, two guys whose name starts with an E. The king of Moab was a very what man?
Yeah.
Remember talk about his, he was a very fat man, the Bible says. His name was Eglon because he ate eggs. Everyone say Eglon. Because he ate what?
Eggs.
And he was a very what man?
Yeah.
Okay, now he's in Moab on the east side of Jordan. He used to come across the Jordan to a place to... try to give you a visual. He come across Jordan, and he would get to a place called Jericho. Say Jericho.
Jericho.
Say Jericho.
Jericho.
And he would come into Jericho, set up his building. And see, he set up his headquarters, and that's where Ehud would come and pay the tax. So Ehud would bring the what?
Tax.
So Eglon came from Moab. Eglon was a very what man? Because he ate what?
Eggs.
And he was a very what man?
Eggs.
And he was a king of what? Is there a problem? No. He was the king of what land?
Moab.
Very good, because they're Moabites. Okay, so he was the king of Moab, and he came across the Jordan, and he came to the city of what?
Jericho.
To collect what?
Yes.
And who brought it to him?
Ehud.
Say Ehud. I am Eglon. That's Ehud. That's why you got eggs. You got to distinguish two. So Eglon from Moab came to Jericho to collect a tax from Ehud. Say Ehud. Now, one of y'all thinking, why do we need to know this? Because tomorrow, you're going to be in In-N-Out. And people are going to be thinking, what was the king that ate the eggs? And you're like, well, that's Eglon from the Moab, and he was a very fat man because he ate eggs. And he came across the Jordan to Jericho, and then Ehud gave him tax. And then Ehud stuck a blade in his big fat belly, and that's what happened. And now I need to leave because that's all I remember from yesterday's quiz. That's why you need to know, okay? Now, Eglon came to what town?
Jericho.
What town?
Jericho.
What town?
Jericho.
And who was the Jew who came and brought him the tax?
Ehud.
And Ehud brought him the what?
Tax.
And then Ehud ended up sticking a what kind of blade?
Double-edged.
Say double-edged.
Double-edged.
Say double-edged.
Double-edged.
Say double-edged.
Double-edged.
He took a two-edged sword in his stomach and killed him. Now, once he killed him, the Bible says the word of God is a double-edged sword. You go home and look in your knives, probably none of you, very few of you, have a knife with two sharp edges. They have one. The Bible says the word of God is a double-edged sword. It cuts bone and marrow, soul and spirit. And so he took a two-edged sword in his stomach and left it there. Once Eglon died, all the 10,000 Moabite men of valor ran scared and got killed by the Jews. So why couldn't they have done that the day before? Because of one guy. A lot of times your pain and your stress in your life or your feeling like you're nothing can be traced to one person. It's a friend, it's a boss, it's an employee, employer, a manager, a coach, a teacher, or someone that you're jealous of down the street, or someone who talks about you. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that that one person has got something wrong with them. It could be you. That you're jealous of somebody, mad at somebody, envious of somebody, scared of somebody for a reason that the devil put in your head. And so, but the point is, it's usually connected to very few people that you have all this drama. And if you can deal with that one person, with your emotion, your feelings towards that one person, a lot of times a lot of your drama related to that person can go away. And then you can learn how to do it with the next person that comes into your life that may rub you wrong. Are you following me? And so when they killed Eglon, all of a sudden, all their problems went away. They killed the 10,000 people, and they were no longer oppressed. And then they had peace. And when Ehud died, they did evil in the sight of the Lord again. They rebelled. They went through the whole cycle. Are you following me? Okay, very good. Next, Deborah. Everyone say Deborah.
Deborah.
Say Deborah.
Deborah.
What letter in the alphabet, the English alphabet, comes before, think before you speak, the letter D. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Some of y'all are not saying anything. Go ahead, do it. A, B, C, D. So what letter comes before D?
C.
C. Deborah fought the Canaanites. Everyone say Canaanites.
Canaanites.
They were from Canaan. Say Canaanites. Deborah was the only judge who was also a woman. Yes, she was the only woman judge. Hey, already say hey. She was also the only judge who was a prophet. Right, and what do you call a female prophet? A prophetess. Okay, with a little flower on the end. Deborah judged underneath the palm tree of Deborah. This is palm tree. She judged under the what tree of Deborah? Under the what tree, Deborah?
Palm.
And palm tree is a symbol of fairness. Symbol of what?
Fairness.
Symbol of what?
Fairness.
And she fought the Huites.
Canaanites.
And the Canaanites had a military advantage because they had 900 iron chariots. How many iron chariots did they have?
900.
They had 900 what?
Iron.
What kind of chariots?
Iron
what?
Chariots.
And so they had a military advantage because they had 900 iron chariots. The Jews had zero. And so she fought the whatites? And the leader of the Canaanite army was a guy named Sisera. This is Sisera because he was a sissy because he got killed by a woman. Now, ladies, boo, boo. Very good. Okay, I want you to have an emotional response to that comment because the more emotional response you have to information, the better you'll remember it. Okay, so when I say it again, I want you to boo and get mad at me, call me a chauvinist. That Sisera was a sissy because he got killed by a woman. Very good. Now you will know this means a sissy. Sisera. This means Sisera. Say Sisera.
Sisera.
Sisera. So the Canaanite military leader was? And he got killed by a woman. He was a sister. He didn't get killed by a sister. He was a sister. Now, what happened was, both Moses and Deborah wrote songs about their victory over their enemy because their chariots of the enemy was defeated by water. Their chariots was defeated by water. Both of them wrote a song about it. And so a song was a way that they would remember something, a story. They would put it into a song. So Deborah was also a song. Very good. And so both Deborah and Moses wrote a song about their victory over their enemies because their blank was defeated by blank. Their what?
Chariot.
Was defeated by?
Water.
Their
chariot.
Was defeated by?
Water.
One more time there.
Chariot.
Was defeated by?
Water.
So they both wrote a song. Judges chapter 5 is her song. And it recounts the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. And what happened was the chariots got stuck in the mud. And the Jews killed all the Canaanites. Sisera went running, and he went to a tent of a woman. Her name is Yael, so I'm a yawn. I'm yawning, but you say Yael. Say Yael. Her name was Yael, and he went, can you hide me, can you hide me? She said, yes, Mr. Military Man, come in here with your muscles and lay in my tent. And he said, can I have a glass of... Where else can you act silly and get away with it, right? can I have a glass of water? And she said, no, I'm going to give you a glass of milk. And then she stuck a tent peg in her head and said night-night because she killed him. Are you following me? So he asked for a glass of?
Water.
He asked for a glass of?
Water.
He asked for a glass of?
Water.
She gave him a glass of?
Milk.
And then she put a what in his head?
Yeah.
And then she said?
Night-night.
Very good. Okay. So it's water, milk, tent peg, night-night. Okay, so Sisera, Deborah fought the Huites.
Canaanite.
Deborah fought the Huites.
Canaanite.
And their military leader was what?
Sisera.
And he was a?
Sisera.
Because he got killed by a? And her name was? Oh, yeah, you can boo. Go ahead, boo. Okay. And then her name was?
Yeah.
And he asked her for a glass of?
Water.
She gave him a glass of?
Yeah.
And then she put a what in his head?
Yeah.
And then she said?
Canaanite.
Very good. Okay, that's Deborah. Gideon. Gideon was a little scaredy cat because he was always hiding. He fought the Midianites. What letter is the last letter in Gideon's name?
Amen.
What does Gideon's name end with?
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
Now, this you're going to have to really think hard for. What letter comes before N?
Amen.
How many people say O? Some people said O earlier. Y'all a little smarter. This is the Moabites. I don't have a sign for the Midianites. You just got to know it. Okay? So Gideon fought the
Midian.
There you go. Gideon, Midian. Ah, it rhymes. So Gideon fought the Midianites. All right? Hey, that sounds good, right? I think that works. Gideon fought the Midianites. Okay? Spelled a little different, but sounds the same. That's close enough. So Gideon fought the Midianites. Gideon, when the Midianites came, when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, he was hiding from his enemy. And then the angel of the Lord said, you go in this mighty of yours. And then God and Gideon said, I want proof that you're really the angel of the Lord. And then he said, I want you to tear down your father's altar, his pagan altar. And he did it at night. So Gideon was what from the enemy? He was what from the enemy? And he asked the angel of the Lord for what? He asked the angel of the Lord for what? And then when God told him to tear down his father's altar, he did it at when?
Night.
He did it at what?
Night.
And then he put out a fleece twice. Now, he put out what twice?
Fleece.
A fleece is he put something on the ground, and he said, God, put dew around the fleece on the ground, but not on the fleece. And God did it. And he said, God, please forgive me for not believing you, but why don't tonight you put dew on the fleece and not around it? And God did it. And so sometimes you hear Christians say, I'm going to put a fleece out to God. In other words, I'm going to test God to see if this is really him. And I would tell you that even though Gideon did that, I would tell you that that does not mean you should always do that and always expect God to answer you that way. Because that could be superstition. In other words, if I don't have a sign, I'm not going to do it. You don't want to get into that habit because that's not Bible. The Bible says, just shall walk by faith. And the faith is that God's small, still voice should be able to tell you go. Now, he can confirm things through circumstances, but that's going to be on his own time and his own way. But if you get into the habit, well, if I don't have a sign by this time, tomorrow, whatever, I'm not going to do it. God can say, hold up, I spoke to you. That's a sign enough. Why do you need something else? Now, can God give you a sign? Yeah. Sometimes will he? Yes. But sometimes he won't. He's just saying, you trust me. And so you don't want to get in the habit of always needing a sign and always needing something external of a small, still voice in your heart tell you what God is doing. Let God just tell you. Because if you start getting into, I need to see it out here, you're putting your faith on something else. In other words, the phone didn't ring, so I didn't know it was God. Or someone didn't ring my doorbell. Or I didn't get an offer for my house by 5 o'clock, so it must not be God. That's not necessarily true. So you don't want to have that as your theology. You want to say, Lord, speak to me. Just speak to me. Now, again, he can confirm it, and at times he will, but that is not necessarily his normal, or I should say, you can't expect that to be his always regular practice with you. And he did it with Gideon, and here's the other thing about the Bible. When you read stuff that happens to people in the Bible, and people get into this with, especially in the New Testament, when they see how the church was formed, that because they did it in the Bible doesn't mean that you have to do it that way today. If they did it, fine. And if Paul says, you know, this is wrong, that's a whole different deal. But then you even have to take the context of that. But you always have to know the context. But just because, you know, I'll give you an example. When you go to our new place in Point Loma, you may not like it. And you may say, well, you know, I don't agree with this. And that is completely fine. And you should be at a church where you feel comfortable. It doesn't have to be the Rock. Matter of fact, if you don't want to go to Point Loma, God bless you 100 times. Find a church where you fit. But my point is that a lot of times we have in our mind a church should do like this and Christians should do that. And we have these things not from the Bible, or we're making the Bible say what it doesn't mean to say. And so if all the churches, and matter of fact, I had someone tell me this, all the churches in the Bible were in homes, so therefore you shouldn't have a building. Well, where do you get those two things to connect? But people come with that stuff. And so just because they did it in the Bible doesn't mean you have to do it unless they teach you to do that. Because the Bible doesn't necessarily say you have to do this, you have to do this. It'd be like me getting saved when I was high. I got saved after I got high. I mean, when I got high, actually, I was getting ready to go. No, I think I had smoked some weed that day, to be honest with you. And I'm going to smoke some more. But I was in a grocery store, and this department store waiting for my girlfriend, and these guys came and spoke to me and witnessed to me. Well, that's what happened to me. I would never say that's what you need to do, but God delivered me. Are you feeling me? And then I did some stuff after that I would never say for you to do. And so God has a different experience as long as it never violates the Bible. God has a lot of room in the Bible for us to have different experiences as long as it never violates the Bible. So I say that even though Gideon put out these fleeces, don't think, well, you know, I have an idea. Let me put out a fleece, because God may not answer your fleece. He may say, I don't want to play that game with you today. I'm not going to do it. And you're going to be left, I didn't get an answer. It's like putting the Ouija board. Let me see and have someone answer me. You don't want to do that with God. You don't want to have that be your practice with God. Now, again, I say, can he? Yes. Will something happen? Stuff happens to me all the time. I mean, it's weird. When I say weird, it's supernatural, where I will be thinking about something, and then someone will call me that is the very person I was thinking. That stuff happens. But just because it doesn't happen doesn't mean it's not God. So I hope that makes sense. So anyway, Gideon put out a fleece twice. He put out a fleece how many times?
Twice.
He put out what twice? He put out what twice? And he was what from the enemy? He tore down his father's altar at what? And he asked God, the angel of the Lord, to give him what that he was really God? Say it again. Say it again. Now, he killed and defeated his enemy of 135,000 with how many soldiers? How many people saw the movie 300? Okay. 300. Now, think about this. If I'm God and Gideon is scared anyway, And he's always wanting proof over and over again. God, I'm not sure. God says, okay, here's what God did to him. God says, okay, I'm going to give you an answer. I'm going to keep confirming to get you to say yes. Okay, yeah, I'm really God. There's proof. I'm going to answer your fleece thing again. I'm going to give you a dream. I'm going to do all the stuff to you to encourage you because I know you have a little lack of faith. So I'm going to answer your signs, your questions. Now it's my turn. You got 32,000 soldiers. They got 135,000. I'm going to take your army, and I'm sending everybody home except 300. Why? Because I know that's your problem. You need to learn to trust me, and I'm going to teach you right now. So even though God answered those things for him, God says, I'm not going to play to your weak, to your issue. I'm going to teach you and test you out of that issue. And so God trimmed his army down to 300 people. One for every 70-something thousand. I can't remember what the number was we had. It was some ridiculous number that compared one to whatever it was of people. Why? Because God says, I know you don't trust. And I'm gonna train you to trust me. And how am I gonna do that? I'm gonna send you against 135,000 with practically nobody. And watch what I do. That's what God did to him. And so don't think, well, I don't have a lot of faith. Or I just, and you know, God's gonna protect me. No, God's gonna show you his power. Because the reason he's gonna use your weakness for his strength. And so that's what God did to Gideon. I can honestly tell you, our process. When I say our, the leadership of the church, the board, blah, 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 the top leadership, the CFO, the people who we're dealing with all these big decisions with the building, God took us and has taken us to the bare minimum of our emotional, financial, staff capacity, to the bottom of our capacity, to where I go home at night and say to my wife, I don't know what we're going to do. And every single day, the last few days have been a little different, and that superstition right there, it means nothing, but I'm doing it anyway. The very few days are different, but for like a month, every single day, boom, something would happen that would just knock me over, and I would go home and go, I don't know what I'm going to do. And to the point where us opening on August 26th was in jeopardy a few weeks ago. And I'm like, hey, it's happening. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, oh, no. I'm not going to tell you that because it wasn't definite. So it's like, let's see what happens. And God's like, just relax. And I was saying, God, it keep punching me in the stomach. What's up? You know what he told me? Do some sit-ups. The reason I'm telling you this is that, and the whole time, believe me, it was hard, it was stressful, but it was exactly what I would have done if I was God. I would have done that to me too. I would have done that to the staff too. Why? We're going to get in. It's going to work out. But what is he doing? He says, I got to teach y'all to believe. I want to take your faith and take it from here to here. So why would I just let you cruise in? And the devil, you know he ain't going to sit around. And so we were in that battle. We're still in it. I mean, we have an event Thursday for all y'all who know about it. And they are right now putting lights in. And they have to put lights in, turn the cameras on for the first time, try the sound for the first time, try the cameras for the first time, try this new computer equipment to put stuff on the screens for the first time, and practice between, and they can only get one day of practice on all that stuff fully together on Wednesday. And there's an event on Thursday. Now, if it goes wrong, no big deal. We're trying out, blah, blah, blah. But in 2 weeks, we're there. And so it's like boom, 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 boom. And what God is saying, I want to train you to trust me, trust me, trust me. And we're in a pressure cooker. Is that a bad thing? No, it's exactly the kind of thing God does. So when you find yourself in that situation, get over it. Just do it. And you know what? I was watching a Tiger Woods play today, and I didn't hear the interview, but I got to believe that him winning by the skin of his teeth is a whole lot sweeter than if he won by 10. They're different. I mean, it's good to smoke people, but at the same time, it is. But at the same time, it's also good to fight, and go, whew, and win as well. It's a whole different deal. So anyway, don't get in the habit of needing the proof. Just ask, if God tells you something, just go. And by the way, you say, well, what if I'm not sure? God will steer you. God cannot steer a car that's not moving. If you're sitting there waiting, he can't steer you. But as long as you start going, he can turn you. So don't even worry about, well, I'm going to make a mistake. Just go. But just keep listening. Okay. Time is at 7. Okay. Jephthah. Everyone say Jephthah. Jephthah. Did I wear y'all out? Okay, what's the, you know, I never told you about the quiz position. What's the quiz position? Put your booty back. You're not even sitting up straight. Sit up straight. Sit up straight. Turn to the person next to you. Say, I'm ready to go.
Ready to go.
Say, I'm ready to go.
Ready to go.
Okay, say Jephthah.
Jephthah.
Say Jephthah.
Jephthah.
Jephthah was the son of a harlot. He was the son of a what?
Harlot.
Son of a what?
Harlot.
His brothers, his stepbrothers drove him out of their family. His stepbrothers did what?
Drove.
Because they just say drove. They drove. They what him out of the family?
Drove.
Because they didn't want to split the... Ah, you remember this from the first time. They didn't want to hear anyone split the what?
Yes.
They didn't want to split the what?
Yes.
So Jephthah left and worthless men followed him. What kind of men followed him?
Worthless.
Remember, he said, Jephthah, your mother's a prostitute. Get out of here. And it was true. So he had to leave. So other people who had some kind of sting or whatever, they said, we're going to go with you too. And the Bible says that he led them in so many words. And so he grew where he was planted. He grew where he was what?
Planted.
He grew where he was what? He grew, he was what?
Planted.
Say it three times.
Planted.
And you need to grow with your planet. Wherever God puts you, use your gifts. Don't say, I'm going to wait for the perfect opportunity because it never comes. Perfect opportunity is the one you have now. And so when he grew in his planet. Now, they end up calling him back, say, Jephthah, can you lead us? We'll fight the Ammonites, blah, 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 blah. And he made an ill-advised vow. Two words start with a V. Everyone say V.
V.
What letter comes before V? Ha, ha, ha. What letter comes before V? How many say U? Raise your hand. How many say W? Raise your hand. How many of y'all scared to raise your hand? No. UV. Okay. UV raised. Okay. So he made an ill-advised what?
Vow.
Vow. Say vow.
Vow.
He made an ill-advised
vow.
And here's what the vow was. If I win, God, and here's why you don't want to mess around. God, if you give me victory, I will sacrifice as a burnt offering the first thing that walks out of my house when I come home. Now, why would you say that? His virgin daughter comes out of his house, and he ends up killing her, sacrificing to God. He really had to do that, and he did it. So he made an ill-advised vow, and he had to kill his virgin daughter. He had made an ill-advised what?
Vow.
And he had to kill his who?
Daughter.
What kind of daughter?
Virgin.
What kind of daughter?
Virgin.
He made an ill-advised what? And he had to kill his what daughter?
Virgin.
Very good. Everyone say Samson.
Samson.
Say Samson.
Samson.
Say Samson.
Samson.
Samson had some women issues. He had some women issues. Now, this question and answer is split. I'm going to have the guy say devil and have the woman say dummy. Okay? For every she,
devil.
There's a he.
Dummy.
Right. See, the ladies are a little louder than the guys. Okay, so fellas, we need to do that again. Okay, y'all, we cannot be outshouted by the females. We don't want to be a sissy. There you go. Yeah. Go ahead, say it, say it, say it, say it. Okay, for every she,
devil.
There's a he. And for all you ladies who are doing that, he dummy. That makes you the devil, okay? So don't do that. Because if that's the dummy, you're the devil, okay? So, fellas, so for every she,
devil.
There's a he.
Dummy.
The women are more motivated in this little thing. Samson said, if you cut my hair, I will be just like any other man. He will be what?
Just like any man.
Say it again. If he cut my hair, I will be?
Just like any man.
Pay attention because I'm going to switch it up here in a minute. Every time, if you cut my hair, I will be? If you don't cut my hair and my vow is intact, I am. That's right. Say it loud like you're proud, girlfriend. If you don't cut my hair and my vow to God is intact, I am. If you and your vow to God is intact, you are not like any other man. That means if you are clear on when God wants you to pray, what God wants you to do with your gifts, how God wants you to use your time and your resources and your money and your relationships and your experience and your intelligence. If you are clear on how God wants to use that, you will not be like any common person. You will be your own twinkling diamond. Do you know that every diamond has its own unique twinkle? Like a fingerprint. Do you know that? You're like, yep. Right, honey? You need to get me two different ones, okay? Every diamond has its own twinkle. You have your own bling factor. When God shines his glory off you, it comes out different for everybody. And if your vow is intact, you will not be common. You will be unique. God created you that way. Do you know you have, what is it, like 50 billion neurons in your head? A neuron is a brain cell, and every neuron is different. Different. You are so unique, beyond ridiculously crazy. And that's why people who don't believe God created them and don't believe that God created everything he created, because the Bible says in Romans 1 that his invisible attributes and his eternal power are so clearly seen in what he made, that man is without excuse. Now, you may believe in evolution, but I need to warn you, you need to be really clear on what that means to you. Because if what you're saying is that the creator of the universe is not Jehovah God, and that there is no intelligence in the design, and God didn't create everything and give it its complexity, you are telling God he's a liar. That's what the Bible says over and over and over again. And when you look at what he made, to deny that it has a creator is simply, there's a whole lot of words that come to my mind. The one I'll say is dumb. It's dumb. I give you an example. Very simple. Very, very simple. If you're offended, again, that's an emotion. Take that emotion and deal with it, okay? What I mean by deal with it is go vent. Go find out what I'm saying is true. You know, something. But don't do nothing. These glasses can't think, can't speak, can't see, can't talk. They're just plastic and glass. There's not one of you in here that would say nobody made these glasses. Not one of you would say it just made itself. Not one of you would say it evolved. Not one of you would say it's just by chance. Every single one of you would swear that somebody designed these glasses to sit on someone's head and to see through the glass. That's true. And if you disagree with me, I don't want to ask you to raise your hand, but I can't believe you would say, no, that just made itself. Because you wouldn't. Why? Because this plastic and glass serves a purpose, and it doesn't have the ability to have given itself that purpose. Somebody smarter than this gave it the purpose. What God is saying is when you look at yourself, when you look at the moon, the stars, the universe, and how everything revolves around it, revolves around itself, how the plants grow and how the nourishments and the plants and the water come together and the seed technology and everything that has a seed takes out of the ground to make plants, to make things that we can eat to help us live, how all that is interrelated and works together, that and how your brain works, your eye works, your ear works, your digestive system, your reproductive system, your skeletal system, your muscular system, your endocrine system, how all that stuff works not only by themselves but together. And for you to say that no one created that, he's like, I don't even want to hear it. This is what the Bible says, that you are without excuse. You can never say, God, you know what? It was toss up between accident and design. He's saying it is so far beyond an accident, and it is so intricately designed that you have no excuse because I made it that way. And so when you say you believe in evolution, please step back and don't take it because some scientist or professor is telling you it's fact, because it's not a fact. That's why I call it a theory. All they're telling you is that when you rule out God, we can only have that. Those people are not considering God as an option. And so you want to be really careful, because what happens is if evolution is true, then there's no one who designs you. That means you have no purpose. That means you have no moral standard that you can pick whatever you want. It's a domino effect, because the devil's a genius. I don't know how I got on this evolution thing, but anyway, I did, and we're here. So let's move on, okay? Get all fired up. Now, if you get offended by the dumb statement, here's what I would tell you. What would you call a person who looked at a car and a house and said, oh, it just came up out of the ground by itself? You would say, that's dumb. You are a whole lot more complex than that. You are infinitely more complex than a house or a car or a pair of glasses. And you have life. You have emotion. You have memory. You have dreams. Where'd that come from? Nowhere? Can't be. Someone say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Samson. Say Samson. Samson, if you cut his hair, he will be? If you don't cut his hair, he is? Samson, for every she, There's a he.
Tell me.
Okay, I'm going to give you four numbers, and then we're going to do the whole thing. Four numbers. Say 30. I'm going to give you three numbers and one number. Trinity, 3 and 1. 3 and 1. Okay, all three of these numbers start with 3, and I'm going to multiply them by 10. When you multiply a number by 10, you just put a 0 at the end. Basic, right? 3 times 10 is 30. Okay, so say 30.
30.
Times 10 is what?
30.
Times 10 is what?
3,000.
You don't sound confident. 30.
30
times 10?
300.
Times 10?
3,000.
Now, this one number starts with 1. 1,000. Say 1,000.
1,
let's review.
30, 300, 3,000, 1,000.
Very good. One more time. One more time. I know this is. Breathe, breathe.
30, 300, 3,000, 1,000.
Okay. How many men did when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, he got supernatural strength. Everyone say strength. S-K-R-E-N-F. Strength. Okay, so when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he killed how many men and took their clothes?
30.
How many foxes did he tie tail to tail?
300.
How many people died when he died?
3,000.
How many Philistines did he kill with a jawbone?
3,000.
Of a donkey. Very good. Let me tell you how Samson died. His she-devil wife, Delilah, tricked him, and she cut his hair when he was sleeping. They plucked his eyes out of his head, and they made him a slave to grind, to push this grinder. And they made fun of him, the Philistines. His eyes are out of his head. He's blind. Why? Because he got cocky, and he thought God would always be with him, and he could play with fire, the she-devils, over and over again and not get burnt. Don't ever think God will not step back from you and leave you by yourself. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean he's not there. No, he loves you. He's there. But he will let you go at it on your own. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that people who deny him, and he specifically talks about homosexuality, that men lust after another and they call it shameful. He says, listen to what the Bible says, that he turns them over to a depraved mind. You do not want God to take away your conscience. Am I saying all gays have no conscience? No. But am I saying that some people who go so far that God turns them over to a depraved mind? Yes. The Bible says so. And he turns them over to do vile things. No conscience. You do not want God to do that to you. And so what happened with Samson, God said, Samson, you're on your own. And he was blind. And now he's at this festival where all the Philistines, thousands are making fun of him. And there are 3,000 on this porch above where he's standing. And he asked a servant, to put his hands on the pillars. And he says, God, one more time, may I avenge my enemy. Now, he's in war. So God, I assume that's why God justified this killing. He pushed the pillars, and the whole thing fell, killed him and 3,000 Philistines. That's how he died. Samson. I don't know if you knew that. We think of Samson as this big, strong guy, all these women. He was a wild man. And he got his eyes taken out because he played with fire one time too many. You got cocky. Why is that in the Bible? Because the Bible tells the truth. Don't sugarcoat. Now, Samson, how many men did he kill and take their clothes?
30.
How many foxes did he tie up tail to tail? How many people died when he died?
3,000.
And how many people did he kill with a jawbone of a donkey?
1,000.
Say it again.
1,000.
Okay, everyone sit up straight. We're going to do everything together one time. Everyone sit up straight. Turn to the person next to you. Say, I'm ready. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
If you ever have issue with anything I say at church, which people do, here's the only thing you got to do. Here's the one thing you should do. Don't gossip, because if you're gossiping, you're going to bring judgment on your head. What you need to do is go read the Bible. Go read the Bible and see what it says. If you believe in evolution and you got an emotional response because I talked about and called you dumb, Or I called it dumb to think that something can make itself that has a purpose that's more complex than a pair of glasses, then you should read the Bible and say, what does the Bible say about, you know what the Bible says? A fool says in his heart there's no God. So maybe I should have called you a fool, because that's what the Bible says. But the Bible also says, the verses I told you, Romans 1, chapter 20. Read Romans 1. It'll talk about the gay thing. It'll talk about the evolution thing, the creation thing. Read the Bible. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, then we have no conversation. Because that's my belief. That's my basis of truth. And you got to come up with a better basis of truth to replace the Bible. to have an argument, okay? So if you want to get mad, if you get mad, do something with it, vent it, but go find out the truth. And then we can have a discussion. And then you have an argument, okay? But what you don't want to do is go, I disagree because it's just wrong. Why? Why is it wrong? Okay? You want to know why. And for me, this is what makes it right or wrong right here, the Bible. So you got to decide what makes it right or wrong for you. It can't be your opinion, because your opinion means?
Nothing.
Okay, see, when I say my opinion don't mean nothing, y'all scream it. Church people, church people. Okay, everyone ready?
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, Joshua did what to the promised land? It sounds like Chewbacca. Okay, what did Joshua do to the promised land? How long did it take him?
7 years.
Then he what?
God.
Then he what?
God.
Even though the Israelites, they did what to the land?
Yes.
They did not take what for the land?
Yes.
R-O-P-E-D, rope. They had a 5-step dysfunctional process. R means a?
Yes.
Because everyone did what was right?
Yes.
Because there was no what in the land?
Yes.
There was no what in the land?
Yes.
R means what? After they rebelled, God did what?
Yes.
Then they did what?
Yes.
Then a judge, after the judge came, they
yes.
And then God did what to their pain? Very good. And then the judges, R and D, a judge was R and D. The R is?
Rule.
And?
Deliver.
Say it again.
Rule.
And?
Deliver.
A judge was also a political
advisor.
Excuse me, a judge was a political?
Advisor.
Also a military?
Leader.
And there was one judge who was a spiritual leader. She was a what?
Father.
And her name was what?
Deliver.
Her name was what?
Deliver.
Her name was what?
Deliver.
Say it 3 times.
Deliver.
Very good. Ahud was a judge, and he judged over the Huites. The Huites. And the Moabite king was who?
Abel.
And he was what? Because he ate what?
Yes.
And he would come over to what city?
Sure.
And he would get what? From who?
Yes.
From who?
Abel.
From who?
Abel.
From who?
Abel.
I'm the king of Moab. What's my name?
Abel.
And I'm what?
Because
I eat what for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yes.
Very good. And then Ahud came and gave him tax and stuck what in his belly? A double... Stuck a what in his night in his stomach? Very good. Say it again. Deborah fought the Huites. The Huites. And she was the only judge who was also a? All the ladies say hey. She was the only judge who was a woman and the only judge who was a prophet. Now, she judged under the what of Deborah? The what of Deborah? And a palm tree is a symbol of what? Palm tree is a symbol of what? Very good. And the Canaanites had a military band because they had how many what? How many iron chariots? How many iron chariots? 900 what? The commander of the Canaanites was who? And he was a what? Because he was killed by a what? Very good. And her name was? Say Yael. And Yael, Sisera ran because his chariot got stuck in the?
Mud.
Very good. That was not a question I gave you. That was not a question I gave you. I said it, and it was in your brain, and your brain was waiting for me to ask it because your brain knew I was going to ask it, and you didn't. And your brain was ready. Okay. So did you follow what I just said? Very good. So your brain picks up stuff all day long, and it knows it. That when you have deja vu, I don't know what deja vu is, but this is my opinion. My opinion don't mean. Thanks. See how loud y'all say that? I think deja vu is when your brain is I don't know what it is. Anyway. I think it may be that your brain is anticipating something based on information you have and emotional dispositions you have and anticipate something and it's correct. But that's just my opinion. Don't mean anything. Amen what? That's a good idea or it's my opinion? Both? Give me something. Okay, I can live with that. Okay, Sisera said, Joel said, come in, Mr. Military Man. Come in my tent. I'll take care of you. He said, okay, girlfriend. And he came in and he asked for a glass of?
Water.
She gave him a glass of?
Yeah.
And a what time in his head?
Yeah.
And then she said,
yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah.
Say it one more time.
Yeah.
Very good. We'll do Samson because we all got to leave. Samson, when the Bible says Samson cut his hair, he would be what? If you don't cut his hair, he's what?
Not like
For every she, there's a he. Very good. Y'all can leave. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your...